Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, last week we saw that in that passage, it says, let God transform you. Let God transform you. And that really is, it clearly states that transformation does not happen without our participation, all right? And God leads and the Holy Spirit nudges and people pray for us. But at the end of the day, we have to participate in that process. And I believe for 2015, we can just sign up right in the beginning and say, God, transform my life. Transform and shape and mold and change the way I think. And as that happens, then you change the way you live and your lifestyle begins to change. And as that happens, then your circumstances begin to change. And as we mentioned last week, a lot of us, we want our circumstances to change, the things around us, the things that we're experiencing. But God wants that change, and really the only way that it's going to be lasting change is when it is inside out transformation. And so God says, let that happen in your life. So we want to look in the next few weeks at what I would call spiritual habits that we can incorporate into our lifestyle that will lead to transformation. Not to make us more religious or so other people can clap and look at us, but things that will change our life. Now, 60, 70 years ago, when people were promoting cigarette smoking, a lot of the advertisement would say it's, you know, it's natural, it's herbal, it relaxes you, and they meant it. And so people sometimes were smoking because they felt like it was helping their life. And my parents grew up smoking. My wife's parents grew up smoking. I think your dad even picked tobacco, you know. And it was just kind of not a big deal. Everybody did it. And then half the world started dying of lung cancer, having emphysema, and all these things. And then they linked the fact that there are some really horrible diseases that directly come from ingesting tobacco into your lungs and nicotine and all that stuff that happens. And so I remember growing up as kids, even though both my parents smoked, in primary school, they had this, it was in plexiglass, and there were lungs, human lungs, that were as black as my shoes. And they would pass it around, and you're 6, 7 years old, and they said, this is what happens to your lungs when you smoke. And then they had another one of when you didn't smoke, and it was pink and it was red and it looked all shiny and nice. And so it didn't matter what my parents said to me, I am not smoking because this is not healthy. And then, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, more and more in the medical field and health and wellness, people began to realize, you know, if you don't have so much fat and oil in your diet, if you exercise, if you jog, if you run, if you do certain things, if you do these things, it will lead to health. If you take these vitamins and these supplements and these vegetables and everything, it will lead to a healthy lifestyle. How many of you know physically we can do things on purpose to make our bodies stronger, right? And as we get older and as we age, we have to do those things on purpose. Otherwise, our bodies, they conform to Hungry Lion or KFC, and they don't, they're not the bodies that are going to sustain us to do the will of God forever, till we go to see Jesus, all right? And so just as in the physical, there are things that we can incorporate in our lifestyle that make a difference in our physical body so we can incorporate spiritual things into our lifestyle that will lead to spiritual health, spiritual growth, spiritual stability. Now, my wife, that's actually what her degree is in, and she worked in a medical exercise facility and helped with rehab and those kinds of things. And you know, there'd be all these people that would go and work out, and sometimes I'd visit before we were married. I'd go and visit her, and they had all these cool machines, and you could do pull-ups and all that kind of stuff. All the, back then, it was real computerized, and so I would go. Oh, I don't know. Would I go three times? I think I'd go and visit her, you know. And but what I discovered is doing that three times didn't make a difference because it wasn't a part of my lifestyle. It's only when you put it into your daily, weekly, monthly activities that you begin to see something is happening, something is changing in my life. And so we want to look from God's word, and there's some things that God says, hey, participate in these spiritual activities, and if you do, it will lead to transformation. It'll lead to spiritual health. It will lead to spiritual growth. And so we can do these things on purpose. And really, as we look at these things, one of my biggest encouragements to you is if you hear a message about exercise, it doesn't work until you do it, okay? My daughter and I have a thing whenever we get together, and she just left yesterday. We're empty nesters again. The love nest is what we call it now. But we watch we watch Food Network cooking shows, and I'll be honest, I could watch it 6 hours a day. I love it. And so we just sit there, but here's the thing, my stomach has never been blessed by watching Food Network. Now, sometimes we watch it and then we say, hey, let's go to the kitchen, let's try that out. And we try it out, and we do this, and we get the oils out of the herbs, and da-da-da-da-da, and it's like, oh, wow. It's only when you do it that you get the benefit of it, okay? So today, it really doesn't matter whether you say amen or not. It matters whether we incorporate it into our lifestyle. All right, let's look at the first one, Romans chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, great, great book of the Bible written to Jewish believers, grew up Jewish, now they follow Jesus. Some awesome, awesome things to say to them. And here's some kind of summarizing words again towards the end of this epistle. Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The author of Hebrews is exhorting Christians to get together, to go to church, to come together where there is a sharing, where you're exhorting, where there is help for one another. Now, notice that even 2,000 years ago, and this is what we refer to as the first century church, the early church, already there were some that were advocating, you don't need to go to church. You really don't need to get together. You can do this Jesus thing privately. And so the first spiritual habit that we want to look at this day is be connected to a local church. Be connected to a local church. I realize this is a little ironic in that the people that need to hear this today are the people who stayed home. You're here. I'm preaching to the choir. All right? So get this CD and give it anonymously to the people that come to Miracle Life three times a year. All right? But we want to see that this is, it's not just a religious thing, but there is a biblical spiritual reason why we get together and why we are connected to a local church. Now, more and more today, and I've seen it in kind of my generation of Christians, is people will say this, well, I love Jesus, but I don't go to church. I love Jesus, but no, I'm not connected to a local church. Well, you know, somebody said, well, hey, do you know the Lord? Or you walk with the Lord? Yeah. Well, cool. What is there a local church you go to? No. I stay home. It's a private thing. Or, you know, I watch Christian TV, or I read books, or I have other spiritual inputs into my life, and I don't need church. Okay? Biblically, and when we look at the New Testament, that is not an option. It is not an option that someone gives. It would be like, you know, we have weddings here at Miracle Life all the time, and, you know, we marry someone, and we find out there's, you know, maybe there's some trouble they're experiencing, and we say, hey, what's up? And says, well, you know, I live in Sydney, Australia. My wife lives in Lusaka. And we say, well, wait a second, that's not how you do a marriage. Oh, no, we decided that's how we're going to do marriage. We're just going to live apart and be married. That is not marriage. It doesn't work that way. You have to be together. You have to drive in the car together. You have to fight over groceries and money together. You got to raise the kids together. Amen? What God has joined together, don't let any job or education put asunder. Marriage doesn't work that way. Well, I love Jesus, but I'm not connected to a local church. No, you don't love Jesus because you're not doing what he said. Because Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to come back for a glorious church. Now, obviously, the church is made up of, and the Greek word is the called out ones, the ones who've been called out. And so we're a group, we're a gathering, we're a family of people, but it is vital that we are connected to a local church. Now, others will say, well, you know, I went to church, but I'm disappointed. I don't go to church because of blank. Blank. It's boring. They're full of hypocrites. The pastor takes too much money. It's too long. It's too short. It's too quiet. It's too exciting. There are 1,001 reasons why why Christians don't go to church. And you know what? Honestly, many of them are valid reasons. And the problem is God is good, isn't he? And he is perfect and he is wonderful, but the local church, including leadership, is all made up of flesh. And we are becoming like Jesus. And sometimes people at church make you mad. And sometimes the lady at that's greeting you doesn't greet you properly. And the car park people don't let you park your car where you want to. Or, you know, everybody, oh, nice projectors. I don't know why we need those projectors. I don't know why they use our tithe money on that stuff. So there's so many things to get mad at church. And so because we're dealing with people, we have reasons of why a church isn't perfect and why it isn't everything that we want it to be. And so what people do is they stay away. Now, sometimes, and unfortunately, there really actually has been in some places, you could call church abuse, where people get harmed and hurt and weird things happen. And so somebody says, man, church hurts you. But that would be the same logic as, you know, if I am, you can tell I'm dying in my eyes are bugging out and I'm just flesh and bones and say, Pastor, why? What's wrong? And says, well, 3 years ago, I ate some fish and I threw up and that fish was bad. And I've decided food is bad because you can get food poisoning from food and I don't take food anymore. Well, no, you had bad food, but food is designed to make you strong. And so just because there was a bad church or a bad experience at a good church doesn't mean, well, I don't take church anymore. Well, in 3 years, you're going to be dying. And Christians do. The Christian life was meant to be done together. In the New Testament, over 25 times, we see this phrase with different verbs, one another. Love one another. Be tenderhearted toward one another. Forgive one another. Serve one another. So there are all these New Testament verbs, commands, lifestyle living that we are to have with one another. And those are, speaking of believers, and guess what? If you don't come together into a place where there is one another, you're not doing most of the New Testament if you're not connected to a local church. You simply can't live as a Christian. Now, what sometimes people do is they replace church with other Christian activities. And so at home, they sit down and they watch a church, okay? And they watch it, and they eat popcorn, and, oh, man, that fantastic miracle. Man, did you see that one? Did you see the demon fly? Excellent. Powerful. Wow. Let's change over to the news. Is the news on about? It's news time. All right. So we watch Christian TV, or we go from conference to conference to conference, or we go to non-denominational Sunday afternoon gatherings. That's someone who's starting a church but doesn't want to tell us they're starting a church. Yeah. So we get involved in Christian activities, and some of them are okay, but it's not a local church. When we were in Cape Town, and it was so awesome, I think it was New Year's Day. We were at the beach, and it was just filled with people from every tribe and tongue. It was just awesome watching people have fun. And so there are a whole bunch of guys in different places. They were kicking the ball, and they had a circle, and they had one guy in the middle. And so he kept it around from the guy in the middle. He was the one defender, and he had six people around him. And as soon as he would get the ball, then he would be on the circle, and whoever lost the ball would be in the middle. Oh, they're playing football. Really? That's not football. Football has goals. You score. There are rules. No, they're using some of the skills of football, and they made up their own game. How many of you know today, if you're going to watch Premier League or La Liga or something like that, and you turn on the TV and there are six guys passing the ball around? Hey, DSTV, where's football? This is not football. No, going to a conference, going to a Saturday afternoon deal, watching Christian TV, that is not a church. That is not a local church. But I like it because everybody wins. No, if you want to play football, you got to play by the football rules. And so when God designed this institution, and as far as I can tell from the Word of God, God only made three institutions. He made the family first. He made the government, that is a God-designed institution, and he designed the local church. He made it. He designed it. And so if we're gonna do church, then we go to his official FIFA book of how church happens, and we do it his way, right? Okay, so we can't substitute what we want or what we've figured out for what he wants. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus is what's known as the pastoral epistles. They were written to pastors. And there's a lot for, you could say, people in ministry. But we also can get God's glimpse into some of the things he wants for the local church from these beautiful writings. 1 Timothy 3:15. So remember, he's writing to a pastor, Timothy, young guy, pastoring 30,000 people in Ephesus, where there's idolatry and prostitution and all kinds of crazy things. 1 Timothy 3:15, I write to you that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Notice what God calls the church. He calls it the pillar and ground of the truth. as if you study church history, if you study evangelism, missions, and all the history of how the gospel has spread all around the world, a gospel and the gospel of Jesus Christ, it never sticks in a nation or in a city until there's a church. Is Christian TV good? Yes, it can be. Is evangelism and crusades great? Yes. All right. All of these things, but are we building towards the local church, or are we taking away from the local church? It is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Jesus said he would build it. He said, I'm going to come back for it. And so the local church is when Christianity develops into a community. It gets stuck. There's land, there's a building, there are people, there's multi-generations, there's parents teaching their kids, and the gospel gets stuck in a place. And this is why the devil loves to fight churches. He loves to fight churches. He loves to get in there and mess them up. And it seems like he's been highly effective for many, many years. All right? Now, what is a church not? All right? Because one of the greatest statements Miles Monroe said before he went to heaven is that if you don't understand the purpose of something, you will abuse it. You will use it abnormally. You'll use it for a reason that the architect and the engineer, he didn't design it. So I've got this pen, and it's designed to write. It is not designed to be a crowbar. It's not meant to clean out earwax. But how many of you know people, we do that with stuff all the time, don't we? And so sometimes people do that with the local church. So what are just a few things of what the local church is not designed for? All right. Number one, it's not a social club. It's not for social standing. My wife and I were talking, and growing up, our parents very, very much, you went to church because you're supposed to. It was the thing to do. And if you want to be a leader in the community or sell insurance or be a judge or a lawyer, you kind of need to go to church, because people would say, well, man, I'm not going to hire that person. They don't go to church. All right. So it's not for social standing. Okay. Number two, a church is not so that you can earn points with God. God, I'm earning up my points, and then I'm going to cash them in when I need that healing and when I need that prosperity boost. God, hey, look at, man, I've been going to church for 2 years. Isn't this awesome? No, we never do anything on this earth that somehow obligates God towards us. Are you kidding me? Grace is free. And free grace is received by the open hand of faith, and by faith alone. All right, so going to church doesn't earn you a place with God. It doesn't impress God. It doesn't make God happy with you. It doesn't, you know, hey, Jesus, let's increase the love towards that person, because, man, they are just fantastic. They just go to church all the time. It's just fantastic. Come on. No. It is not for God's benefit whatsoever. All right. It is not for you, number three, to earn your salvation. All right. There are some churches that the activities inside of that church, or that are authorized by that church, those are the activities that get you to heaven. In some churches, they believe that the sacraments, without the sacraments, taking Holy Communion, different things like that, that if you don't do that, you're not okay with God. All right. We believe what the Bible teaches is that communion is good, it's right, but it's a way that we remember what Jesus did for us. It doesn't wash our sins away. Only the blood of Jesus does that. Only our faith in his finished work does that. All right? Number four, what's another reason not to go to church? It's not so that you can be the next Martin Luther. Martin Luther started something called the Reformation. And the church that he was a part of was really bad at the time, and they've certainly improved since then. And he nailed some stuff on the wall and said, boy, this is stuff that has got to stop. And so going to church does not mean, you know, I'm going to go to this church and maybe God moves you to another city and you're a charismatic Pentecostal and you're going to go to this church and they don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, guess what? I'm going to change things around here. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to institute real church government in this place. And you come as a reformer. No. Go and be a blessing. Okay? Don't go to a church to change the church. Go to a church so you can change. Okay? And if you can be a blessing, if you can be a help, and you can carry some of the load, that's fine. And typically, you know, if a church has bishops and things like that, they're going to have them with or without you. And, well, and then you get the secret little prayer group. We're praying for the pastor. Yeah, Lord, let him see the light. Let him see what we see. Here's a thought. If you know that's the way it's supposed to be, and this is the cool thing because you do have this option in Lusaka, is go find a church that already believes the way you do. And then you'll be happy when you go to church. Instead of going to church and being,
praise and worship is too short. It's too long. We need more of the word, not less huff for spare. I can't believe it. My enchantment is. You know what I'm saying, right? Come on, we're going to do this.
No. Lusaka is so blessed. I mean, I'm not just saying this, but the quality of ministers, of men and women of God that we have in this city is almost mind-boggling. The men and women that I get to call friends and that I interact with, just men that love God, men that have integrity, men that want to make a difference. And so if one church is not right, kind of doing it for you, man, go to Mary, this church is too short. Well, come and see me after service. Man, I know a great church. And they go pretty long, but it's awesome. Amen. So don't go to be a reformer. And then lastly, number five, don't go to church for entertainment. Now, years and years ago, this wasn't a problem because the church I went to, I mean, we had hard wooden benches and there were no pillows. And the organ music was, you know, from the 1600s. And it was everything other than entertaining. I mean, sport was entertaining. But now the church has kind of figured out that, you know, you can have a chair that actually makes you feel okay, you know. Nice, yeah, it feels good. You know, I don't have to escape and have, you know, physical therapy after going to church, you know. And we can have speakers and we can communicate through media and different things like that. But here's the problem is, when we come to church, this is very similar to a movie theater or a concert. When we were in Cape Town, man, we saw a great play that night. And we paid, you know, we sat and we watched. And it was just entertaining and it, you know, interesting and everything. But I did not go for it to change my life. I did not go to contribute. I did not go to meet the person next to me. I went to be entertained. And I was. And I was very happy to trade my money so that they could entertain me. But I think many pastors, and sometimes I feel like Russell Crowe in Gladiator. You know, do not I entertain you? Is that not why you are here? If you haven't seen that movie, go rent that movie, all right? And so we've got to have all the bells and whistles and so people kind of have and they even have it now on Google. You can rate a church 5 stars. Excellent praise and worship. I mean, it was just a real. I mean, it was hot today, baby. Yeah, it was really good. Pastor was funny. Yeah, now made me feel good. You know, air con's not working out so good. I wouldn't recommend it to my mother. You know. No, the church is not here to entertain you. Go watch TV and get entertained. Amen? The purpose of the church is to do God's purpose, and that is discipleship, to reach the nations, to reach people, and help them grow up to be like Jesus. Real simple. That's his purpose. And it doesn't have to be funny. It doesn't have to be entertaining. All right? Amen? Look at me. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4. Don't look at me. Look at the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4. See, because if you want the church to just entertain you, that means you want it to make you feel good. And that's a big problem. Because look at this job description that Timothy got as a pastor. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy, it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. So wonderful. Probably Paul's last writing before he died. And he says, verse 1, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So notice in this passage is saying that Christians, and Paul is warning him, he's saying, for the time will come. So he, what is he doing? It's a word of wisdom. It's about the future, all right? Paul said the time is coming. Guess what? 2015, it came. We're living in that day that Paul talked about. And people heap up for themselves teachers that live in other countries that they don't know, that don't know them, that are not going to marry them or bury them or counsel them, and that could care less about them. And they heap up for themselves. I really like this one, man. They're just so encouraging. They just make me feel so good. Oh, it just makes me feel so good. It is exactly the same as if you give a 6-year-old child the ability to plan their menu for the month. So, son, here we are at ShopRite, Pick and Pay, Spar. What would you like for dinner for the next month? Are you serious? Man, we're in the meat here. Let's get out of the meat over here. Let's go to crisps and sweets and Fanta. Mom, not one Fanta. Come on. I know how much money you got. Come on. And so they just go home, blah, 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 and they just feel so, it feels so good. Is there any nutritional value to it? Zero. Zero. But it sure does taste nice when it's going down. Heap up for themselves teachers. People choose what makes them feel good, not what is good for them. Not what is good for them. Probably everybody in this room, there was something on your plate when you were 4 or 6 or 16, and it looked funny, and it smelled funny, and it tastes funny, and you, I'm going to eat that. And hopefully you had a mother that made you eat it. 2015, now we have moms that are like, oh, honey, you don't want it? Oh, okay, well, I want you to be my best friend, so let's put some sugar on it. No, man, we need to go old school, baby. When I was a kid, you didn't get up from the dinner table until you ate it. Here's what I did. I took some of the food and I would hide it in the table. There was like a little thing there. My mom found that out too. You eat it. You eat it. I don't like it. I don't care if you don't like it. Why do I need to eat it? Because it's good for you. It makes you healthy. Your body needs this. Now, notice what Paul told Timothy to do as a pastor. Remember, he gave him three things to do. Convince, that means someone needs their mind changed. If you're convincing someone of something, it means they don't agree with you. Right? If you go to the political rally where everybody's wearing the same t-shirt as you, there's no convincing. We're just having a good time. Right? Convincing means, I need you to see things from God's point of view. So convince them, rebuke them. Hey, tell your neighbor, I love to be rebuked. Well, but that's what's supposed to happen at church. There's an element of rebuking and exhorting. Okay, exhorting can certainly include encouragement, but exhorting to good works, sometimes it's just saying, hey, here's the path, let's go there. Exhorting, helping people to get there. So, if you put a six-year-old in charge of a church, they're not going to choose convincing or rebuking. I want Fanta. I want crisps. Well, but that's not all you need. I don't care. I'm just going to heap up for myself what I want to hear. And in 2015, it is more easy than ever to do that. And it's really cool. I like it in that, you know, I've got friends that pastor all over the world, and tomorrow I can hear their sermon. Some of them I can watch the video. And that's kind of cool. But I can't be connected to them. They've not been given charge over my soul. They're not my pastor. They're my friend. They're good. They're great too. I can learn some stuff. Okay? You have to be connected to a local church. What are the benefits? What's supposed to happen in a local church? We've talked about a lot of these things, but real quick. Number one, worship. We praise, we thank, we recognize God. We honor him. We worship him in song and in a number of different ways. We pray. We talk to God. We let him know about stuff. And you could say worship is prayer, because it is in a sense. In Acts chapter 4, when John and Peter got in trouble for preaching, the Bible says that they returned to their own company. And they prayed and they lifted up their voice to God. Did they do it by themselves, just the two of them? No. They went back to their own company. Do you have a company? Well, I've got a book. That's not a company. That's not a group. That's not people that know and care and will be there for you. What else happens at church? You grow. You grow. Our soul is being reformed and transformed. What we saw in Romans chapter 12. There's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's stuff that happens in the service, and the Holy Spirit does it just for you. Because he knows you have a need. He knows that something's going on. And so the sermon might change, or there might be a word or a prayer or something happens because the Holy Spirit knows you're here. And he is ministering to you. It's a place where we serve. Yes, there are things that happen to us, but there's things that happen through us. And we've been anointed and gifted, and we give those to one another, to the body. And people grow because of it. And we reach out. We don't just care about the people that are here today, but we care about the people that are not here today. And people who are broken and suffering, and people that are backslidden or don't know the Lord. And so we reach out and we touch their lives. Amen. So how do we implement this stuff? All right. So we can talk about it and say, amen, that is fantastic. Excellent, excellent, excellent. How do we do this? First of all, number one, come to church. Attend church. Let me say this. Go every week. Go every week. When the church door opens, you're there. Now, here's some bad reasons why people who are in a church don't go to church. It's because they're in sin. That would be the same thing as if a doctor at UTH finds out one of his relatives is sick. Well, why didn't you come and see me? Well, because I'm sick. I just felt bad going to the hospital because, you know, I just kind of need to get some things right in my body before I come and see you. You know, I feel like a hypocrite, and I just don't feel worthy to come to the hospital. The hospital isn't built for healthy people, and neither is the church. Come as you are, without one plea. And when you are being tempted, or when you're on the other side of temptation, and you've got the crumbs on your chin, and you are in trouble, that is when you need to be in church more. Now, we're not going to have you preach or sing a special song, but you need, this is when God can help you. This is when he can pour into your life. Don't stay away if you're tempted or in sin. Come, get the help that you need and let somebody know, it's me. I'm the one that needs help. Don't stay away when you're offended. Don't stay away when you're offended. Deal with it. Matthew 18, go talk to somebody. Go talk to the person. Well, I don't really like the way you looked at me. Well, go tell them. They're nicer than you think. Well, here's what we do. We decide for them. I bet you they wouldn't even talk to me. So you decide that they're not going to talk to you. That is not okay. Go talk to them. And then when they don't talk to you, then bring another person with you. Don't give up. And then, hey, church, I need to help. Can you help me get over this issue with this person? Don't get offended. Now, here's the thing. Here's a promise that Jesus made. It's a promise to you. Offenses will come. Is that going to be our declaration for 2015? Hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I believe it. Offenses will come. It's one of those verses that happen without your believing. It just happens. Offenses will come, and offenses happen in the body and in the church, but we can deal with them, all right? Another reason people stay away is, well, I'm just busy. I'm busy. Are you busy? Are you so busy you can't eat or sleep? Oh, no, I do that because that's important. Oh, church isn't important. Well, I mean, not really. No, come if you're busy. Come if you're busy. Sometimes this one really gets me. People say, well, I'm studying for an exam. You'll do better on the exam having come to church and then going back to study. You're telling God and you're telling the body, and maybe you serve on a team here, my grades are more important than God. But here's the thing. The day before the exam, then you come up, pray for me that I'll do good on my exam. Give me that Zappo thing that you do. No, be in church. Be in church. Another reason people don't come to church is just plain old-fashioned laziness. Church typically is on a morning, and you don't work. And what is the option that you can do other than come to church? Sleep, hallelujah. And let me tell you, there are times, more than one time, where I wake up on a Sunday morning and the alarm goes off, and I'm thinking, Saturday, breakfast, late breakfast, hanging out with my wife. Sunday, are you kidding me, Sunday? What do? You just get up and go. Just get up and go. Go to church. Well, I'm taking a break from church. I'm taking a break, as if it's strenuous. You take a break from weightlifting. You take away a break from a bad relationship. I'm just on a little break from church. I just need my time. I'm on a break. These are real things that people tell me. I'm on a break. No, you don't break from God. He said to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It's a good thing. But don't take a break from church. Come every time. Come on time every time. Come on time every time. Some of you that are clapping got here 30 minutes late. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. We love you, we love you, we love you. But here's the deal. We're missing out on some of the stuff that God has for us. And I tell you, there are times at Miracle Life where God gives me what I need for that week and what I'm going through, and it happens at 8:09. It's during one of the songs. It's a phrase. It's there it is. There it is. I got it. Oh, thank you, God. And the rest of the service is just gravy. It's just extra credit. But right there is when God gave it to me. Amen? 101 reasons to be on time. And let's be honest, folks, it's because we don't prioritize it. It's not important to us. I was in Kasama. We were doing a conference there years ago, and our team left. So I was getting a lift to come to see the Newberries, and I was on a bus. Got a bus ticket, and the pastor said, I said, when does the bus leave? He said, leaves at 06. I said, oh, that's fine. I'll be there at 5:30. He said, no. If you get there at 5:30, you're not going to get a good seat. And what I didn't tell him was, listen, pastor, I've been in Zambia long enough to know. Nobody in Zambia is going to come that early for 6 o'clock. Are you kidding me? But I was just like, So I got there at 5:30, and I was the last one in the queue, and I sat next to two large mamas, you know. And for 10 hours, I'm watching Nigerian movies about demons and witches and stuff, you know. Well, I didn't listen. Everybody got there at 05. Why? Because it was important to them. It was important to them. They had stuff that they wanted to get in the luggage place. They didn't want to sit beside. They wanted It was important, and they made the time for what's important to them. So you have to decide, is getting on a bus more important than meeting with God? And some of you, about 80% of you decide, yes, that's true. Doesn't matter when I come. The other thing is, it's a distraction to other people. Because we're supposed to get our, Caesar tells, put your eyes on Jesus. Coming through, and then whatever, and then your handbag hits me in the back of the head. No, man, let's be ready to go. Let's be ready to go. Amen. Now, look, if we had a 10-hour service, I could understand I'd come late too. All right? But we try to value your time. All right? Come expecting to receive. Come every time. Come on time. But come expecting. God, I believe you're speaking to me today. God, I believe, Holy Spirit, you just have your way in my life. And come every time expecting to receive. That makes such a difference. Such a difference. Come, be ready. Amen. Don't make us spend 60,000 kwacha to convince you to come to the men's movie. We have an advertising budget. Well, it's exciting. No, it's for men. I'm a man. I'm there. End of story. I don't need any more convincing. I don't need a shiny package. I don't even show me the trailer, Pastor. Just tell me. If it's a man thing, I'm there. Because I'm hooked up here. And I believe Holy Spirit. If you tell me the Holy Spirit's going to meet me, I believe you. And I'm going to be there. Because I care about what God's doing in my life. Amen? Come expecting. And let me just be, I've been in church for 30-something years. And every Sunday is not transformational. What'd you learn last week? Go to church and be on time. What did God do in your life? That's about it. And there's just some stuff that God does in your life that's like a slow drip. Drip, drip, drip. And you stay there long enough, and then over time, something happens. Every Sunday is not breakthrough Sunday. Now, every now and then, it is for you and for me. It is. And I'll be honest, you never know when that Sunday is going to be. We were part of our local church at Rhema in the States, and every Wednesday night I served in children's ministry. And I'll be honest, that's probably why I went to church, you know, every Wednesday night, was because I had to. I told them I'd be there. Because at 19 years old, I believed that if I gave my word, I did it. Mm-hmm. That's another sermon. Okay. So I was there, and they would give us the message of the thing. And I'll be honest, many times I wouldn't necessarily listen to the message, but saw that, and there was a guest speaker, never heard of the guy named Ed Elliott. Okay, nice. I got 20 minutes on the way to work, put it in. That's why I'm here today, is because I listened to that cassette on the way to work. That's how we went to South Africa. That's how we came to Zambia. That's how we met the Newberries. That was the door. There were not five, it was one door that the rest of my life went through, because I went to church on a Wednesday night, played with kids, put a cassette tape in. God didn't move on me. You know, when I saw that cassette tape, the Holy Spirit, it didn't start to shake and tremble. There wasn't smoke that came off of it. And your destiny is now within this tape, and so shall you receive. And no, I was in the habit of going to church. I was in the habit of, instead of listening to the radio, putting in a teaching tape. That was just my habit. And through that habit came the destiny of my whole life, and that will affect the generations of my family forever, and affect this nation forever. All because I went to church, put in the tape. Spiritual habit. Do you have spiritual habits in your life? Come expecting to receive. Come ready to give. Come ready to give. Ephesians 4, we're running out of time, verse 16. The whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Tell your neighbor, you have a supply. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. And it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Each part, New Living Translation says, each part does its own special work. Its own special work. We're praying for the nation. I'm there, Pastor. What am I going to get out of it? Nothing. It's going to cost you money. Petrol's expensive. Well, but if I give, will I get back? Probably not. You just pray for the nation. Well, but Pastor, I need to be there. It's part of my responsibility. I've got a job to do. Amen. The people, all the different teams of this church, we need more helpers. We need more people serving. Amen. We got a big budget this year. We got to pay down the building. That's fine, Pastor. Already signed the check. How much? How much, Lord? I'm ready to give. I'm ready to be a blessing. This is my family. I'm part of the deal that's making this happen. I'm not just in neutral, having people pull me along. I'm pushing, I'm giving, I'm serving, I'm bringing something to the house. Every joint supplies. Hebrews 13:17, be responsive to your spiritual leaders. Listen to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? Yeah, are you a joy to the body? Or are you the reason why we cry? Now, I'm not talking about we're happy to cry with those who cry. That's part of the deal. That's part of being a family. Amen. Make it a priority. Give it a high place in your life. Make the local church a habit. A habit. You get moved to another city. It's not if I'm going to church, it's where I'm going to church. You're on holiday, go to church that week. We were in Cape Town, had a great, great service at Hillsong. Cape Town, man, what a blessing. It was encouraging, helpful, you know. We could have been doing this and that. It could have been at the beach. Yeah, but it was awesome to be with the people of God. It was great to be in the body of Christ. Amen. Make the church a priority. And I don't want to give you 101 promises of what God's going to do in your life. Just make it a habit. Because God says, don't neglect coming together. Don't neglect coming together. Be on time every time. Come to receive, come to give, and we're going to do some things with Jesus. Amen? Bow your head with me. Father, Thank you so much that you work through your local church. Father, among us that are still growing, among us that have problems and issues, and Lord, we sometimes don't get it right, and Lord, even people preaching sometimes don't get it right. But God, it's still your institution. It's what you created, Father, to establish your kingdom on planet Earth. And so, Father, may we all, for the rest of our lives, be connected to this wonderful thing called the church. Father, we thank you that we'll receive from you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ. You are in a church, but you're not in the family of God. You see, to come to church today, all you needed to do is just come. And we're so glad that you're here. But to be in the family of God, you need to make another decision. And that is, you need to receive Jesus Christ personally into your heart, to confess him as your Lord and as your Savior. And if you've never done that, you can. You can be a part of the family of God. God wants you in his family. He'll adopt you. He'll cleanse you. He'll make all the old things brand new. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian. You realize, boy, I need to come home to my Father. I need to allow and let him restore and forgive. And I need to make things right. The fact is, he'll make it right. You just come. If you're here today and you're not born again, you're backslidden, but you need to come home. If that's you, I want to pray with you. And so that we can, would you raise up your hand? Just raise it up. Wave it at me. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Who else will have the boldness and the courage? Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Let's all stand to our feet today. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to go shortly. Sorry for keeping you over time. If you lifted up your hand, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. And I want to join his family today. I want to be part, connected to Jesus Christ. If that's you, grab your Bible, whatever you brought with you to church, and just come and meet me up front. I want to be able to shake your hand, look you in the eye, and just pray with you right now in Jesus' name. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, sir. God bless you. You lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand. We're here for you. We want to pray with you today. Anybody else? Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Glad you came. Now we want to help you receive this wonderful gift from God. It's free. It's his grace. And so if you see the person next to you here, David, he's got this clipboard thing. And if you would go with him, we're going to have a time of prayer with you. We want to give you a book and make sure that every spiritual need of your life is met. If you would just follow David right now, we're going to pray. Amen.